and its majesty exits. Thus far, his words. We should understand the above in the work. What is a righteous, and what is the impression that a righteous makes upon his exit? We should interpret that the Creator is called righteous. As it is written, the Lord is the righteous, and I and my people are the wicked. This means that when a person is close to the Creator, meaning feels that the Creator is close to him, he feels how the Creator does him good. At that time, he feels good, a good taste in Torah and in prayer. And in all his engagements, he feels that the Creator is close to him. Whatever he does it with joy and elation. Afterwards, he comes into a descent, feeling tastelessness in the study of Torah and good deeds. However, he is left with an impression that he had during the ascent, when he felt good taste in Torah and mitzvot, commandments, and was in a state of joy. That remaining impression makes him long to return to the previous state. That is, after some time, he awakens through the impression left in him, so as to seek advice how to return to the state he had, which was called a state of ascent, while now he feels his lowliness, how remote he is from anything spiritual. This brings up the question, why did he get that descent? Who is gaining by this? Or perhaps it came to him as a punishment, for now he must correct himself for his sin. However, he does not know what was the sin for which he descended from the state of ascent he was in. Thus, he does not know what to correct. It follows that, on the one hand, he does not see any deficiency in himself that could have caused him a descent. So, he is compelled to say that it came from the Creator. This begs the question, what did he, the Creator, gain from lowering him from his degree? By this, we can interpret what our sages said. The exit of the righteous from a place leaves an impression. During the ascent, it is regarded as the Creator being present in the place, meaning in the body. At that time, he causes him the sensation of excitement from Torah and mitzvot. But he could not give that importance that the Creator is in him, as it is written, I am the Lord who dwells within them in the midst of their impurity. To appreciate it, to know who is in him and pay the due respect. Thus, they could never help him receive a higher degree, since he was satisfied with the work. Therefore, he was lowered from heaven so as to know once more how to appreciate it, since from above they raised him and brought him closer, but he did not value it. If you should ask, why must one value his state of ascent?
It
is as I heard from Baal HaSulam
that
there is no distinction of degrees in the light. Rather, the matter of gadlut, adulthood or greatness, and katnut, infancy or smallness, depends on the attainment of the kelim, vessels. It follows that the whole sin for which he fell from his degree was that he did not value his condition and was content.
It
therefore follows that he would have had to stay in this degree forever. Therefore, the descent he had received was for his own good, so as to give him the ability to ascend in the degrees of holiness. Therefore, the exit of a righteous from a place leaves an impression. When the righteous is in town, he is its splendor, he is its brilliance, he is its majesty. Means that all the importance was in it, but he did not know how to appreciate its value. Hence, its splendor departs, its brilliance departs, and its majesty departs. It follows that the exit of a righteous from a place leaves an impression. He should know that when the righteous was in town, he did not pay attention to appreciating it, its splendor, its brilliance, and its majesty. Instead, he turned, meaning that he did not have the importance of all the above-mentioned degrees of importance. This is called leaves an impression, meaning that he had to be imprinted in him. It had to be imprinted in him that the exit of the righteous from the place was because of the turning, meaning that in fact all the degrees were there, but he did not notice it because he should have known that there are no changes in the light, but everything depends on the kelim, the vessels. It follows that we can say that this departure was not due to a sin, but so as to allow him to rise in the degrees of holiness. We should also interpret, regarding the above-mentioned verse, that the exit of a righteous from a place leaves an impression refers to a person. When the righteous is in town, it means that a person can justify providence. Then, when he overcomes the state he is in, and says there is no doubt that the Creator, who is good and does good, is behaving benevolently with me. However, he wants me to feel as I do. It follows that he is justifying providence. At that time, he immediately sees the importance of the work of bestowal and above reason. This is called, when the righteous is in town, he is its splendor, he is its brilliance, he is its majesty. For then he sees all the virtues. When he departs from there, means that he has departed from justifying providence and wants to see everything within reason. At that time, he feels no taste in the work in order to bestow. And then, its splendor departs, its brilliance departs, and its majesty departs. And he falls once more into self-love. In other words, at that time, he knows nothing but work that is built on the basis of within reason. This is regarded as the exit of the righteous from the place, leaves an impression. It means that only then, through the exit of the righteous, when he thinks, now that I feel good taste in the work, I no longer need to work above reason. It causes him the exit of the righteous from the place. This creates in him an impression, so he will know how to keep himself from exiting the work of above reason from here on. As I heard from Baal HaSulam, when a person says, now that he has support and no longer stands between heaven and earth, he must fall from his degree, because then he flaws the discernment of above reason. It therefore follows that precisely the departure of the degree he had leaves an impression on him, so he will know how to be careful next time and will not blemish the faith above reason, but always justify providence. It is known that Eretz, earth, implies the will to receive, which is the foundation, since all of creation and all the bad that exists in the world extend from this desire. As it is known that all the wars, murders, and so forth are rooted in the will to receive. This is called a ladder set on the earth. For when a person first comes to the world, he is placed on the Eretz, earth, from the word Erze, I will want, meaning I want to receive. This is regarded as lowliness, that there is nothing lower than that. However, its top reaching to heaven, that is, precisely through the ladder being set on the earth, I will want, for Erze, earth, I will want, has two meanings. One, from the word Erze, meaning I want. Two, from the word Eretz, land, which is regarded as lowliness, land or earth. It is known that the essence of creation is only the desire to receive, that in the beginning of creation, only the will to receive emerged. Afterwards, there were corrections called equivalence of form, which means that the lower one, called earth, achieves equivalence with heaven, which is called the giver. We can interpret this as man, although he is in worldliness, can still correct by his head, called the end of the ladder, reaching to heaven, namely, being in equivalence of form with the heaven, which is regarded as receiving in order to bestow. As in the beginning of creation, the receiver emerged first, and then was corrected in order to bestow. So is the ladder, which is akin to a person standing on the earth. The beginning is on the earth, and then he reaches heaven. This means that we should not be impressed when we see that man is full of worldliness and has no sparks of bestowal, and he cannot believe that it is realistic that his body will ever agree to work only in order to bestow. Instead, he should believe that it is the way and the order of the work that the Creator wants it specifically in this way, that a ladder will be placed on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. Called a messenger. These men who are walking on the path of the Creator are called God's angels. First, they ascend by the ladder being set on the earth and reach the top of the ladder, regarded as its head reaching to heaven. Afterwards, they descend, meaning that all the ascents and descents are because there are two ends to the ladder. One, set on the earth, meaning the place of lowliness. Two, but its top reaching to heaven. This means that to the extent that he appreciates its top reaching to heaven, he can feel the lowliness of being set on the earth and regret being in worldliness. But if he has no real clue about its top reaching to heaven, he has nothing to impress him about being in a state of descent. It follows that to the extent that he ascends and its top reaching to heaven, he can appreciate the measure of lowliness of the descent. This is why it is first written ascending and then descending. Since one can feel that he is in a state of descent only to the extent that he feels the importance of reaching to heaven. This is the meaning of ascending and then descending, since the ladder that one should climb in order to carry out his vocation, for he was sent to this world by the Creator, begins from the degree of a ladder set on the earth, with its top reaching the heaven, meaning from the beginning of lowliness, which is the will to receive, which is his nature. Its head means that at the end of the ladder, he should reach the heaven, which is only to bestow. This is called heaven, as earth is called receiving, and heaven is called giving. We should also interpret ascending and descending as a person having to know that when he feels that he is in descent, such as when he engages in commerce or works at a factory or simply walks on the street and he suddenly wakes up from his sleep and finds himself in a state of descent, at that time he should know that knowing that he is in a state of descent has come to him from the ascent. This is called ascending first and then descending. For if there were no ascent in degree, owing to the awakening from above, he would not come to feel this. However, he is being called upon from above.
נמצא לפי הנעל
It follows, according to the above, that our entire work is as a ladder set on the earth, with its top reaching the heaven. That is, man's ladder has two discernments, and with those two discernments he ascends on the ladder of the living. One, from his perspective, the ladder set on the earth, which is the will to receive, is set on the earth, which is lowliness. Earth means receiving, nukva, female, who receives from the heaven, where heaven is called male, giver. Its head reaching to heaven means that bestowal called heaven is to him the head, meaning important. To the extent that he regards bestowal as the head, he regards the earth, which is the will to receive, as earth, meaning lowliness.
Two,
he regards the Eretz, meaning Ertzeh, I will want, as the head, and heaven is regarded as lowliness. Also, angels of God means that one who makes the calculation that he has come to this world on a mission from the Creator to correct corrections is called angels of God ascending and descending on it. That is, they see the ladder of the living set on the earth, meaning that the will to receive is regarded as lowliness. Its top reaching to heaven means that to him, bestowal means heaven. That is, they are awaiting bestowal because the essence of their work is to bestow contentment upon the Creator. And this is what they regard as head. When they receive a desire with which they can bestow, they consider it elation. And this is what they wait for. Conversely, when they are placed under the rule of the earth, they feel lowliness and are looking only to bestow upon the Creator. If the mechanism he's talking about here, where each time in order to advance we must fall from the from above reason into the reason, that's clear. But he says here that if a person gets something from above and he has the intellect to appreciate it, to that extent, the light grows in him and he doesn't need greater light, but he himself, by appreciating that illumination, it grows and illuminates from him, for him, each time on a higher degree.
Yes.
So what is this path of not falling but constantly remaining in a state of above reason?
If I accept the point I'm in, which I did not choose, but the Creator did. The Creator placed me in it, before it, in it.
It
turns out that I have there's no difference from me if I'm staying in it, ascending or descending. If I received it from the Creator, I can appreciate it as if I'm in him and adhered to him. then I start the next phase.
So what is the next phase after having noticed that it came from the Creator?
The next one is that, again, an action comes from the Creator by which I ascend or descend or something happens, but I will again accept it as coming from the Creator, so I agree with it, a priori.
But how can I appreciate everything that comes from the Creator and not fall from it? That's the whole question.
You cannot fall. Everything that's happening with you, you accept it as coming from the Creator.
Can a person control it?
Try. It turns out that you have no sense, no descent, nothing, only adhesion.
I'd like to go back to the question about how I noticed that it's from the Creator.
Yes.
So I'm going through some state that is revealed now. What is this action of attributing it to the Creator? Is it an intellectual, an emotional thing? What is this?
So you wish to feel that what you came to is the beginning of your ascent, where you ascribe everything to the Creator.
And what does it mean that I attribute it to the Creator? What am I doing there? What do I need to do in order to attribute it to the Creator?
You wish to hold on to this point and not come down from it.
What does it mean to hold on for to it?
It's precious to you. It's important to you. Therefore, to be in it is for you an important thing. And you ask the Creator to hold you in it, to give you the strength to hold on inside this point.
So can we say that it doesn't matter what what a person feels, what he should say is only to the Creator, let me hang on to it because I understand that it's from you?
Yes.
And what will happen then? Let's say I succeeded in doing this.
You arrived, meaning you've acquired this degree. Now it's in you.
And what is the next operation?
The Creator does that. You only accept the situation.
I understand. So there is a certain state. I attribute it to the Creator. I am in the degree, as you said, and then the Creator will take me to the next degree, and in it I will have to do the same operation.
Yes.
And in this way,
Rav, כתוב,
Rav, it's written, a person should know that when he feels that he is in a state of descent, for example, when a person, while engaging in commerce or working at a factory or simply walking on the street, suddenly he awakens from his sleep and finds himself in a state of descent. And then he says that it came to him because he was called upon from above. How can I be called upon from above more often? How do I make it so I am called upon from above more often?
Oren, תקרא אולי שוב את הציטוט ואת השאלה.
Read the quote again.
עכשיו אתה שומע אותי, רב?
כן, כן. Hear me, רב?
Yes.
It is written, suddenly he wakes up from his sleep and finds himself in a state of descent. And then he must know that it came to him from above, the state of ascent.
Yes.
So how do I do it so I'm called upon from above more often?
give you a new state.
Yes.
Where you are higher than where you were before.
Yes.
So you want to grasp the state, stay in it.
Yes.
That's why you tell yourself that I'm aura number two.
Right. So how can I make it so that I will be called upon from above?
You carried out the first state, you used it for yourself at the front, I don't know how. And then you understand that you're now getting a second state.
How is it decided to, according to what, to awaken from my sleep?
I don't know, it's not my judgment, but I need to do everything that has to do with me in the first state, and I'm waiting for the second state.
He writes here that all the ascents and descents are a result of importance when a person obtains or loses importance. Why do we lose the importance?
Because the Creator changes the state. He gives a person the ability to be connected to Him at a higher degree, and then the previous degree seemingly disappears, loses its importance.
What does a person obtain and discovers when he has importance?
Importance. The importance of the connection with the Creator.
And why can't we hang on to that state?
Because you constantly need to be in effort to hold oneself in faith above reason. And you constantly need to work in a way that renews it in him.
That's
it. He has to get there and keep himself from falling from above reason, degree of bestowal.
Is it a person's work with, does a person's work with the environment strengthen his importance?
Also with the environment, but
Kiev 1.
On the one hand, it says that the ladder stands on the ground, and it's clear that this is our desire. How to construct the upper part, the head of the ladder that's in the heavens?
First of all, a person is given all kinds of challenges. If he succeeds, he rises. The next thing is when he sees before him what problems he has to solve with the friends in order for the next ascent.
Holland.
Good morning, dear Rav.
Mike.
What causes the exits of the state of the righteous?
A state of exit means that the righteous has come out, has fallen from his state. What causes it is disconnection from connection.
But is it so? Is it a choice to exit from a righteous?
Yeah, it's
his free choice. Let's say that he went out from his connection with his group, with his friends. He's dealing with something that grabs his desire, his attention, his thought, in a way that is not on the spiritual path, and that's how he leaves. It happens. Sometimes the Creator plays tricks on a person too. And then even if he didn't mean it, he leaves in order to teach him to hang on more tightly to the state that he is in.
Can it be said that it's a request, let's say, from the righteous to want to exit, to come into this impression, to this impression from...
No, no, it's not against his will, but it sometimes happens for all kinds of external reasons. This is called exiting from his place, if he hangs on to it. Even though all kinds of disturbances come, it is not regarded as exiting from.
Здравствуйте. Близкий вопрос. Тут написано, что когда человек поднимается на высшую ступень и ощущает
ее, when a person climbs to the upper degree and feels it, the feeling itself breaks the principle of faith above reason. And following that, a person is thrown back down again. We feel the higher degree without breaking the principle of faith above reason.
Yes, yes, this is how we rise. We get information from the higher degree. We try to rise on it and keep ourselves in faith above reason, right? And along with it, acquire what we can within reason, also on the higher degree. And this is how we continue. Okay.
Well, it's written in the one before last paragraph. The one who makes the calculation that he comes to this world on behalf of the Creator as a messenger. What does it mean to make this calculation?
This is how it feels. Let's say that it's like that. It's his feeling. It is his real feeling. He should check it, of course, but there is such a feeling. It's, what next?
It says, on a mission to correct corrections.
Yes.
What is this mission on behalf of the Creator to correct corrections?
Because all kinds of states appear before him, which he needs to correct. Arrange them, put them in order, relate to them, ask the Creator about the forces by which he can bestow upon everyone.
Thank you.
מתואר שני מצבים שהאדם נמצא בהם.
He describes two states. The earth and the heavens.
Yes.
My question is about the correction.
What
is the correction? A person's ascent from above, from below up, or also he's correcting something about corporeality.
No, only the ascent. If he has an ascent and he has questions during the ascent, he should solve them.
It's part of the ascent to see corporeality as a force that helps you climb.
Yes, of course. Of course. All the revelations you have, you need them. And you will be able to remember them, awaken them from memory in order to rise and keep yourself on the higher degree. straight right now.
I'm asking because he's saying that the angel of the Creator is a person who's sending and descending.
Yes. He's on duty.
So when can he say about himself that he's a human, Adam, and not an angel?
When he feels clearly and for sure that he has a spiritual duty and he's turning to the Creator and clarifies his duty and the Creator answers him and prepares him for that duty.
So is that a human or an angel?
Then he is an angel.
When is he called a man, Adam, not an angel?
When he clarifies his duty with respect to foreign desires with which he needs to unite, and together with them, go forward.
When he's using the desires themselves, that means that he's a human, a man, Adam?
No, but he does a kind of joint work with them.
When a person feels the state of the earthliness, the ground, the lowliness, what determines that now he will want to reach the servant of heaven, equivalence?
The desire in him, which he scrutinizes, his desire nevertheless is drawn upward to the purpose of creation.
How can he do the correct scrutiny that the state of loneliness is that he's being called from above, as he writes, not to stay immersed in the state of loneliness?
This depends on the extent to which a person understands where the desire comes from and where it's aiming.
How does he get this understanding that he's now being called from above, even though he's now feeling a state of loneliness?
He feels. What's there to think about, Niv? Now he feels that he is not in a good state. He is in a lowly state. And he's being directed. They want to draw him, to connect him to a higher desire.
I'm asking because in practice, oftentimes a person feels himself in a state of lowliness and doesn't ascribe that state to being called from above.
Correct.
So I'm asking, what determines this feeling that he is being called from above to start climbing above?
He should go and check. There is none so wise as the experience. Questions, please.
It's written that the main purpose of our Torah is to bring us to the height that we will be able to keep the verse, love your friend as yourself. What does that mean?
In other words, it means we have to reach the degree of the Creator, to know the whole Torah, to know the Creator, know the connection between a person and the Creator, what we do in the connection between us, to which essence we are coming by ourselves, to use the whole Torah. So that whose whole purpose is to elevate man to the level of the Creator.
To bring us to a height that we can keep this verse, love your friend as yourself.
Yes.
Should we first uplift to some degree that then we'll be able to perform it? What does it mean to bring us to the height that we'll be able to implement this verse?
That we will want it to be in us because it happens only.
This
split in a person's perception between wanting to adhere to the Creator and wanting to reach love your friend as yourself. Where does that come from?
From the person himself.
When there's commandments, it's this thing in the system. There's commandments between man and man, and man and the Creator, right?
I am studying what's written.
So he's asking why
the
verses in the Torah about man and man, and how can it be that love your friend as yourself, that are supposedly the commandments between man and man, also cover the commandments between man and the Creator?
Yes, that's what he wants to say, that all the mitzvot are covered by man's relation to his friend.
So why are there commandments between man and the Creator?
That's for now. Later, you see that they're all included in the mitzvot between man and his friend.
So for now, this incorporation, how do you settle the split that supposedly there's commandments between man and the Creator, and he can imagine that he's sorry that he's not adhered to the Creator, and there's also actually...
This is a problem within man, that he doesn't understand that what he wants for the friend is also the same as what he does to the Creator.
How can he reach a state that he feels sorry that he doesn't have love of friends, just as he's sorry that he's not adhered to the Creator?
That depends on how much a person wants to adhere to the Creator in each and every mitzvah. And then he has to understand that out of being with the friends, he comes to the same degree of importance. And if he relates to the Creator as he relates to the friend, and to the friend as to the Creator, then he is already in adhesion.
So that's a desired state, that he's relating to the Creator like a friend and a friend like the Creator.
Yes.
Now let's say that some kind of sorrow awakens in a man that he's not adhered to the Creator.
Yes.
And then, how can he start connecting between feeling sorry that he's not adhered to the Creator to needing to be sorry that he doesn't have love of friends?
He probably is always in equivalence of form, equalizing his form to the friends and to the Creator. And he doesn't feel less importance in the friends with respect to the Creator.
That's the state he wants to reach, but in practice he sees that there's a difference between what seems to him that he's sorry that he's not adhered to the Creator, that he's distant from the Creator.
He should divide it to 625 degrees and thus calculate that this is how he's going to have to rise in the importance of love thy neighbor towards love thy Lord.
Practically, what should he do inside? Now a desire awakens, sorrow that he's not adhered to the Creator. So should he tell himself, no?
He should tell himself that as I now hear that it's important to me to be in adhesion with the friend, and from loving the friend, adhesion with the friend, I can come to adhesion with the Creator. So I'm asking that I will now have the second degree of adhesion to the friend.
What do with that gap? Because the feeling sorry that he's not adhered to the Creator, he can feel it. It's in his feelings. And the thought that he's not adhered to the friends, he doesn't have love of friends, it's something that he heard it.
He heard.
So
what he needs to do?
Yeah.
He needs to relate to the friend as he relates to the Creator. As thyself.
About not to do to your friend what you hate.
So
I see many times that I do to friends things that I hate, but I only pay attention to it after the matter.
Still, it teaches you. That's how we learn.
How to increase the sensitivity before.
You can't. Only by going through it, you can then feel what you've done as opposed to what you should do.
Thank you.
That's why there's ups and downs, ascents and descents. That's the states we go through.
רב שאלה איך אהבת הזולת מחייבת את האדם
לעלות love of others force a person to rise above reason.
אני בינתיים לא יכול להגיד.
I for now can't say, but I think that you can depict that, that if you have to reach the love of the friend on the first degree, right? So you already have to activate actions.
This proselyte that has nothing comes to Hillel and says, make a change in me, convert me so you can teach me. What is that change, that conversion that the upper one can do to someone so he'll be able to teach him? What's the change that should happen?
He has to raise him to a degree where he understands what he tells him.
That's the condition, otherwise he can't learn.
Right. Otherwise, how will he learn?
Where does the proselyte know that he first has to go through that conversion and then study?
The conversion here is not just any conversion. It's that the proselyte will understand what the Torah is about. What is love thy neighbor as opposed to self-love? It's all the things that the Torah describes as the ascent of man to the level of the Creator, bit by bit, at least the first degree.
What's the connection between the answer to Hillel that he said, what you hate, don't do to others, to the request of the proselyte to be converted? Because he got like some advice to...
He gave him a complete advice that if he... If the proselyte comes to determine the condition, don't do to your friend what is hated upon you, that's where love thy neighbor is.
Rav, ben adam...
A person is used to justify himself all the time, to see himself as okay and everything on the outside isn't.
Yes.
Not to do to your friend. Isn't that to condemn the friend? Is it to justify him? To make sure that he's whole? Or what is that action?
Just like yourself. What's to add here?
I see that I'm always justifying myself. I don't see my own flaws.
So that's how he should relate to the friend.
The proselyte that wants to convert, is he supposed to somehow enter conception and be sure not to fall from a degree?
He has to correct all his desires that he came with towards, in order to bestow to others.
And that depends on the form of attitude he keeps towards the others?
Yes.
Which you hate, do not do to your friend. So what is the difference here, what Hillel is trying to tell in this excerpt?
Mm-hmm.
It's an addition of vessels, because moving from from self-love to self-hate and then to love of others, that is the entire difference that we need to feel with regards to the vessel of the person himself with respect to the vessel of the others.
Вот у нас кажется, что там любишь товарищей или сейчас не любишь, не думаешь о них. А как?
Sometimes it seems to you that you love a friend or you don't think about him or not. How to increase the sensitivity?
The Creator does that. This is what the Creator does. The Creator elevates us to a degree of connection and love, and He will make the changes within us.
And we've read an article yesterday, an article concerning above reason by the Rabash, where he writes that man must see the friends within reason, that they are better at showing up on time and they do everything that they hear in the lessons, and they really do everything for the sake of the heavens, and he has to see that within reason. And if he can't do it in such a way, then he needs to do it above reason. He has to accept it above reason that that's how it is. So I wanted to ask, what does it mean above reason for us now that we're preparing for the Congress, which that is its topic? What is this work for us now to go above reason?
Above reason is very difficult, and only with the Creator's help a person reaches that. Above reason means that you accept each and every friend as though he is already in the final correction, and he can't stray from that state. That's it. What else you want to know?
How do you put a feeling into it as if he's already in the end of correction, that it won't be shallow? Because I heard that, and the friends are at the end of correction. And
I always check myself, And how does the friend appear to me? How am I impressed by his actions above my intellect? And that's how I keep going.
What does it mean to get an impression of the actions of the friends above my mind?
That he's right about everything.
The question is, am I accepting it with my eyes shut, or do I actually have to feel it? That he's right in everything.
You have to accept this emotionally as well.
So I'm not in control of my feeling. How do I reach a state?
By exercises. You pledge to get to that feeling as well.
So now the preparation to the Congress, we really want to prepare ourselves with exercises to feel it, that the friend is right in everything. What exercises can we do, let's say for now, in the 2 weeks we have till the Congress?
The 2 weeks we have till the Congress, I recommend doing exercises of love the friend as yourself, in your tens. And once a week or twice a week to do an exercise across the entire group. And then see how do you accept all the friends with an open heart or with doubts and all kinds of problems and other things.
כן. רק אם אפשר טיפה לחדד מה זאת אומרת תרגילים בתוך הסיריות ותרגילים בתוך focus a bit. What do you mean exercises in the tens and exercises in the whole group? What, for example?
תרגילים בתוך הקבוצות זה ברור לנו.
Exercises inside the groups, the tens, that's clear to us. And the exercise across the group, like what all the Petach Tikva groups say?
Like a Shivat Chavarim, where we do an exercise of love your friend as yourself?
Yes.
Thank you. Maybe the friends have impressions about this or questions.
We have to try and see ourselves as being as in a single vessel.
No.
So about this, Rav, if I had one friend, I could just follow him blindly. But if I have a few friends and I can't see how they connect together, so each one has his view and his path, and I take everyone as great, but they don't merge for me to a single thing that goes forward, that I can follow blindly, because
let's say that they were living in a few continents, and then you, can you depict them together?
Why would a few continents matter? It seems like there's more than continents between us.
Mm-hmm.
There is a different character, different perception. Every friend is an entire world. And how do you connect it to a single world? All of them, all of those worlds or continents.
I don't know. We have to do exercises.
With regards to above reason, we're working inside a ten, not with a single friend. So if towards the Congress we want to do some work in the ten in accepting all the friends, how do you take in all of them? I also feel like we have to include all the friends in this preparation action towards the Congress. How do I include all of them in a way that they become like one thing I can follow?
So search for such articles from Rabash, from Bala Sulam, and from Psalms. and send it, that material, you can say to everybody, so you don't start scrutinizing now. Then you'll see, as much as they, at least through those materials you sent them, that they come immersed in it as one.